أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome back to another episode of Living the Quran through the Living Quran And in this particular series we've been going over chapter number 36 which is Surah Yasin also known as the heart of the Quran Today we want to look at four verses number 59 through to verse number 62 And as you'll recall from our previous discussion God was speaking of the blessings of paradise, the relaxation, the rest, the fact that people will be busy in paradise doing many different things, having fun, literally. But we concluded with the fact that there would be peace, that there would be salam from our Lord, which would envelop all of us who are enjoying the bliss of paradise. In the four verses under review for today, God sends us a stern warning. He gives us, for example, first off, he'll talk about the punishment, or at least, again, one aspect of the punishment of the fires of hell. But then he gives us a warning about who we should not be following while in this transient world. He will give us some indications about the devil, about Satan, and the fact that we should not be following him and submitting to his whims and his desires if we wish to enter into paradise. And obviously this is the challenge that we have in life, is how to follow God and not to follow the Satan. How to follow the divine teachings and to keep away from the satanic whispers and insinuations. Before we go into the better understanding of these four verses, let us have a listen to the Arabic and the English translation, and then we'll come back and deliberate on this important passage of Surah Yasin. Allah says the following in these four verses.
وَامْتَازُوا الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ
And it will be said to the sinners, O guilty ones, remain apart as distinguished from the righteous this day. O children of Adam, did I not enjoin on you never to worship Satan? For he is to you an enemy, severing your ties with me.
وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ
And did I not charge you to worship me? For this is the straight and right path. Yet he, Satan, has certainly led astray a number of people from among you. Why do you not even then make use of your understanding so as to rectify your error? One of the first things that we see in this collection of verses is the fact that there will be a separation between groups of individuals on the Day of Judgment and obviously well beyond the Day of Judgment. This first separation that we understand is the sinners, the disbelievers, those who had acted against Allah's rules, against God's rules, against their own selves actually. That they will actually be separated from the righteous people. And this is a theme which is seen many times within the Noble Quran. There are multiple verses that speak of this separation, of this clear distinction of there being going into, you know, metaphorically speaking, two separate lines on the Day of Judgment and well beyond that. For example, in one verse of the Quran, we read the following, where Allah says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ He says that what is the true believer like the one who is the open sinner? That these two can never be equal to one another. This is one of the first understandings that we have of this separation which God is speaking about in Surah Yasin. In addition, Sheikh Mohsen Qaraati mentions in Tafsir al-Nur that it's very well possible that this separation, although yes, it may be at one level between the sinners and the good people, But he also mentions that it's very well a possibility that we can read into this understanding of the separation to be a separation amongst the guilty sinners. Now, what do we mean by this? He clearly mentions in his commentary that when God talks about the separation, it may be that the sinners are separated from one another. And the example that he gives is, in the world today, we see that one of the maybe most difficult punishments, and maybe which is even a crime against humanity, maybe against some of the norms of human decency, is when people are put into solitary confinement in prison, right? Where 18, 20, 22, 23 hours a day, you're on lockdown, where you are solitary confined and you don't meet other people, you don't speak to other people, you can't interact with other human beings. That in itself is a form of torture, of, you know, cruel and inhumane punishment to an individual. And just as in this world, that's one of the worst forms of torture or of punishment you can give to somebody, where you completely isolate them from other people, where you, you know, completely break them out from their surroundings. That's also a possibility that in the world to come, and one of the forms of the punishment may be that the sinners are all separated from one another. So in addition to them feeling their own physical pains of what they're suffering, there will also be the mental anguish of not having the company of other individuals. In either case, both are very dire warnings for people who sin, that one or two of these fates, or a combination of both, may meet them in that world to come. Now, God says in this passage, in this collection of verses, he talks about the fact that he charged us, he ordered us, he commanded us, he advised us. And obviously advice from God should be taken as a command. But he says that I did not advise you that you should not worship Satan. Now, what does God mean by this? Is he talking about people who are actually Satan worshippers, who worship the devil? And you know, there are people like this. There have been people in the past who worshipped Satan. There are people even today in this day and age that set up, you know, houses of worship, so-called, in which they worship the devil. They have their own scripture that they read. They have their own code of conduct, and so on and so forth. Is this really what a God means when he says that, did I not tell you or advise you not to worship Satan? Obviously, that is at one extreme of the worship of the devil. But what God is talking about here, and this is based on traditions that we have, is you know, where people are told, or we're told rather in the traditions, that a person who obeys other people when it relates to, or when that obedience of others, it trickles down to becoming disobedience of the rules of God, then you have actually worshipped that individual. And so we have this understanding that if God is the only one who deserves to be worshipped and followed and adored, that when we break the rules of God, when we disregard the rules that God has put into place, we are in essence turning our back on God. And the outcome of this is that in a way we are actually associating partners with God. And obviously that means that because the devil, that Satan is the adversary, he is the opposite of what God is in terms of the goodness and clarity and all the goodness which God has, that the devil is the opposite of that. That when we turn away from God, when we break the rules of God, when we commit the sins against the rules of God, we are in essence worshiping the devil because we're following him rather than following Allah. And so when Allah tells us, when God says that, did I not tell you not to worship Satan? He's also indirectly telling us, did I not tell you not to follow Satan, to listen to his insinuations, to do what he wants you to do against my orders and my injunctions? What are some of the takeaway points that we can derive from this collection of verses for today to better implement and to hopefully think about and reflect upon to make a change in our day-to-day life? Well, one of the first things that we see is that the resurrection day is a day of separation and estrangement. People will be separated into various groups. People will come with their own imam, their own leaders. But then there will be a separation between the guilty and the righteous. Family won't recognize one another. They won't help one another. They won't have the ability to support one another. So this is a day of complete separation, a complete day of estrangement from one another, even our loved ones that we cherished so much in this world. Another point which is very important to realize is that God, through the prophets at the first level, or through one of the levels rather, through our intellect that he has given to us, and through the innate human disposition, the fitrah, has taken a pledge with all of humanity that we should not worship the Satan, that we should not submit to the demonic temptations. And this is something which our intellect gives us the understanding to fully appreciate. If that wasn't enough, then our intellect as we mature gives us that indication. And if that's not even not enough, then the prophets were sent, messengers were sent to further cement in that belief. And so we have multiple levels of understanding of worship of God and disassociation from the devil and all demonic temptations. And last but not least, so we conclude with this third and final point, is that the human being is in one of two states, either a worshiper of God or the worshiper of the devil. Either you're submitting to God wholeheartedly and completely, or you are worshiping the devil. You are submitting to other than God. And obviously, people may fall in between, either sometimes good and sometimes bad. But ultimately, we have to pick what side we want to be on. Either you're with God or you're with the devil. But we can't be on both sides of the fence at the same time. We close and we ask God to accept this act of understanding of Surah Yasin, and that we can further understand this beautiful chapter and the remaining verses to come. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.